Hagmann and Hagmann Report, lifting the veil from your eyes, lifting the veil to expose that shriveled up old man behind the curtain, behind the veil, pulling the levers and regulating, dictating what you think, what you say. That's what's going on today, really. We are lifting the veil. Actually, lifting the veil is a reference to our guest, IQ El Razuli, his book, his work, Lifting the Veil, all about Muslim domination, actually. We're going to be talking a lot about what happened this weekend, what's happening, what's taking place all across the country, all across the world, and what we need to do about it. He's IQ El Razuli. I think this might be interview number 1260. I don't know. I know it was 1257 the last time we spoke. Hopefully hopefully he's still kicking in that realm. One of my favorite guests. Before we get to IQ El Razuli, Father's Day, this Sunday, take care of Dad while you still can. I know that you love your dads. You want to give them something special. Last year, I got something special from my children, and here's what I recommend. I recommend a package from Omaha Steaks. If you have a father, listen to me carefully, because this is so easy. This is the best gift to give your dad. We have the perfect Father's Day gift. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how this Father's Day, for just $49.99, you can get our limited time Father's Day package. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter HH in the search bar to apply the savings, that's all you have to do. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter HH in the search bar. Folks, Omaha Steaks offers everything that your dad could ever want for his grilling needs, from the best cuts of beef to poultry to seafood to you name it, they've got it. And Omaha Steaks has got the highest quality cuts, one-of-a-kind flavor. It's convenient. All their beef is USDA inspected for quality. It comes in this wonderful container. It's self-refrigerated. It's fun to order, it's fun to receive, and it's easier than ever. Now, right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to listeners of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Here's how you get that. And this is really an amazing deal. You'll get 80% off of Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. And here's what you'll get. You gotta listen to this list, because it's huge. Two tender, mild filet mignon steaks, two bold, beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers. They just melt in your mouth. Four award-winning Jumbo Franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound, count them, a pound of steakhouse fries. Those are really good. Four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus you'll get four additional burgers free. Again, this is a limited-time package for the listeners of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. For only $49.99, when you go to omahasteaks.com, type in HH in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Folks, don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in HH in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up that grill. Now,
joining us,
go ahead.
Joining us now is author IQ El Razuli. He's been a guest on the show before. He is among the foremost authorities in the world on the subject of Islam, and he has a book series that is all over the place. People, I know so many people who have read it, the Lifting the Veil. And Mr. Razuli, welcome back to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
I know that it's either real late or real early from where you're at. You're at an undisclosed location because for your safety. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate the fact that you've got the temerity, the guts, simply put, to come on and talk about this. IQ, this weekend we saw the anti-Sharia rallies, compliments of Act for America, organized the nationwide protests on June 10th.
Yeah, the new far-right
Muslim hate group,
according to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Then we saw, at the same cities, we saw groups of morons out there holding signs saying, Muslims welcome, don't profile Muslims, they're calling people who don't like Sharia, they're calling us bigots, hate mongers, signs of no hate, no fear. They're accusing us of saying that we are proponents for violence against Muslims, which is not true. The mayor of where was it? Somewhere in Mayor Adler, I guess this was in Austin, I guess it was, saying that Muslims are welcome in my town. IQ, what in the world is going on here? What are we seeing, and why should we be very concerned about what we're seeing?
You have dysfunctional young people in America. They became dysfunctional because of 60 years of indoctrination by so-called liberal left-wing academicians. This is not conspiracy theory. This is a fact. You ask university students of the highest order from Stanford or MIT or Columbia or Harvard simple questions about the world, simple questions about the American Constitution, simple questions about American politics, and they're completely and utterly clueless. And they have been made clueless deliberately to be literally indoctrinated and controlled by the so-called left liberal. This is not propaganda. You can Google this. You can see it on YouTube, where young people who were asked questions in public, simple questions, and they were not able to answer them. So those people who are welcoming Muslims and those people who are speaking about Islamophobia, nobody is asking them a simple question, which is the following. Since 9/11, how many Muslims have been murdered in the United States of America? Do you know the answer is zero? But in the same time, but that's important. They talk about Islamophobia. They talk about fear.
Right.
In the meantime, hundreds of Americans have been murdered since 9/11 in the United States of America.
It's true.
So where is the Islamophobia? Who is afraid of whom? What is this Islamophobia? Muslims hate every human being on the planet who's not a Muslim. So they have phobia against Jews, phobia against Christians, phobia against Hindus, phobia against Buddhists, and phobia against anybody who's not a Muslim. Hmm. So really, who has the phobia? Us or them? But nobody asks the question.
That's true. Okay. That's very true. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. Please interrupt me as many times as you want. Well, because this is remarkable.
You're exactly right. And here's my takeaway from this weekend. As I watched the various news coverage on the monitors here at the office, and I went through everything I could possibly go through. Here's my takeaway from this weekend. I don't believe people understand what Sharia law is. I think that they've been brainwashed into believing Sharia is something that it's not, that it can coexist with democracy, which it can't, that it is a cultural option, which it's not. It's an Islamic mandate. So, IQ, with your knowledge, with your understanding of Islam, can you tell our audience exactly what Sharia law is?
Yes, it's really very simple. By the way, any listener, all they have to do, and they have computers, practically every household in the United States of America has got a computer. Google Sharia. Literally, just Google Sharia. S-H-A-R-I-A. Sharia are a body of law which controls the followers of Muhammad called Muslims. Politically, theologically, economically, and in any other, every way of life possible. Sharia is based on two pillars. The pillars are called Muhammad's Quran and Muhammad's Sunnah. Muhammad's Sunnah is the traditions about Muhammad, how he lived, how he murdered, how he raped, how he hated, how he loved. So these two are the foundations upon which Sharia is built. actually Sharia represents Muhammad. Why do I always say that Islam is a cult belief system? Simple. Ask any Muslim, who was the perfect, the most perfect human being that was ever created upon earth?
They will tell you it was Muhammad.
Absolutely. Muhammad was superior to Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Now, since they emulate Muhammad, are they following Allah? The answer is no. They're following Muhammad. This is cultism. This is not religion. Google cult and Google religion. You'll find out that religion is the belief in a deity, in a god. Cultism is the belief and the emulation of a human being, the cult of Nazi Germany, Hitler, or Stalin, or Saddam Hussein in my country, Iraq. That's cultism. Islam is not a religion, and I proved it. I proved that it's not a religion. In the last talk we had a few weeks ago, I proved that Allah, the God of Muhammad, the God of Islam, the God of Muslims, is most certainly not the same as the God of the Bible, is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. And I proved it in less than 10 minutes. But Mr. Hagman, let me tell you something. It goes way over the head of humans. What I have revealed is so immense, and I'm not exaggerating. It is so immense, it doesn't sink in. Like when I tell you about Sharia, and I tell Americans about Sharia, I've been telling Europeans about Sharia for the last 30 years. It hasn't sunk in. Why? Also simple. No decent human being can believe that a religion called Islam is so degenerate and so evil. They can't believe it. That's it. That literally, as much as it sounds simplistic, it isn't. Those who are demonstrating, not a single one of them has read a single verse in Muhammad's Quran. And as you remember, I have always said, don't waste your money buying the Quran. Google Quran. And don't waste your time reading the whole of 114 chapters. All you need to do is read chapters 2 to chapters 9 inclusive. And if you come to any conclusion opposite to mine, the person who does that should be put in a mental asylum. Back to you, sir.
Real quick, IQ, on this this concept of the perfect man, I repeat that because we saw in the news just last week there was a billboard put up in Indianapolis, and this billboard drew a lot of attention from the locals and from the media. Now, the title of the billboard was Perfect Man, and it made about 6 points, I believe. It said, it didn't say what religion it was. It did not say not the name Muhammad. It, on the top, it said the perfect man, and then there's 6 points underneath. One is marry a six-year-old, two, slave owner and dealer, three, rapist, four, beheaded 600 Jews in one day, five, 13 wives, 11 at one time, and six, tortured and killed unbelievers. And so the title is just Perfect Man, and then it has those 6 points on it. A newspaper article and a local TV crew there did a piece on the billboard interviewing people, and immediately you had people making, saying this was hate speech, that this was lies. But they never said Islam. The billboard never says Islam, never says Muhammad. But the people being interviewed automatically knew who the billboard was talking about, apparently, because they all said that this was a perversion and hate speech against this religion. Any of the claims that I listed, do they sound inaccurate? That you want me to go over them again?
No, I know about the billboard.
Okay.
I know, believe it or not, I know more about what's happening in America than most Americans, because I'm interested. As you said, and you pointed out the most accurate thing, the name of Muhammad is not mentioned, and Islam is not mentioned. Yet who found out it had to do with Islam? Muslims. This is the remarkable part. It wasn't Americans, ordinary Americans. Ordinary Americans could not associate that billboard with Islam. If you hit them on the face, they wouldn't associate. They don't know. Muslims knew. And it was the Muslims who complained. And yet, as you said, the name Muhammad doesn't appear. And the name Islam does not appear. And yet, every single character they mentioned, and there were only six, I will give you 20 more. All of them derogatory about Islam. It's not mentioned. Yes, he was a mass murderer, Muhammad. Let me put it in a nutshell. He was the most despicable, bipedal creature that ever soiled the face of this earth. And I tell the Muslim, please, sue me. Back to you.
But, you know, my big problem with this is a few things, and we've gone over these before. But one, the media almost from at least in this story, from a place of ignorance, you know, plays the dummy.
Ignorance or complicity?
Well, in this case, ignorance. You know, they were just interviewing people, but they, you know, went on to say based on their reactions that they believed it was untrue, the claims in this billboard. But IQ, will we ever see, what do we have to do, I guess, with this billboard example? Would it have been better if they actually cited in the Quran where each of those claims were? What can somebody do to give a more effective message that these people can't deny?
Here's what I believe. IQ, here's what I believe people should do. Take your if they want to put a billboard of your website, simply put, because you've got all the answers there. I'm serious about that.
You're absolutely right, but I'll tell you something. The beauty of the billboard is exactly what you said. It did not mention Muhammad. It did not mention Islam. So it cannot possibly be Islamophobia. It cannot be hate. It cannot be anything. It cannot. Unless, and the news media, I have said it for 12 years, maybe 14 years. The worst enemy of the American people is not ISIS, is not Islam, are not the terrorists. It is the news media. Because they pervert everything. They lie about, look what they're doing to him, about Trump. Look what they've been doing to Trump for the last, almost 2 years. Nonstop. Always lies. Always fake news. Always perverting whatever he said. So the fault is not only with the news media. The fault is always resides with we the people. Thank God enough of we the people were intelligent enough and had the guts and the spine to elect Donald Trump. But Donald Trump cannot succeed. I've said that also on your show. Donald Trump alone cannot possibly succeed against the enormous enmities by the Democrats, by the rhinos, by the news media, by the Europeans, by everybody. He needs your help. How do I mean he needs your help? When a newspaper says something against Trump which is fake, call them, email them, disconnect from them. When any, let's say CNN or a newspaper like the Washington Post, when they do these things, it is up to you, the American people, to defend the president. He can't do it all by himself and the tweets. He can't, it's impossible. You disconnect with CNN, you disconnect with MSNBC. These creatures, these entities cannot exist without you, the American people. Because without you watching them, there will be no advertising. They will collapse, literally will completely self-destruct within a month. But Americans are not doing what I'm saying. And my suggestions are not unacceptable or impossible to achieve. Why go to CNN if you have Hagman and Hagman? I mean it. Why? Why go to CNN? You never get anything decent from CNN, ever. I have been watching CNN for God knows how many years. Always lying. Always perverting the truth and the facts. What can I tell you? It ends with the American people. The reason why your students are stupid, the majority of them, is because you American parents did not take it upon yourselves to go and confront the teachers and the headmaster that they are teaching, in fact, teaching inferior education to your children. And they are teaching them inferior. In Asia, in China, in India, in Japan, in Korea, their standard of education is superior to your standard in the United States of America. Don't take my word for it. Google it, check it. That's not a very nice thing to say. You should be number one in the world. You really should be number one in the world. But you're not.
We're not.
I mean, look, I had children, and in my country, not my country, when I came to Europe, if and when the teacher was giving them information which was wrong, according to what I understood, especially on the history of the Middle East and the history of Islam and the subject of Islam, I didn't hesitate one microsecond to go and confront them, ever, and put them, you know, in the right order. Because the way the parents, it's the parents who control the education system. It shouldn't be the government. The government, when it interferes with the education system, always destroys the education system. And Common Core, is it Common Core you have?
Yes.
Common Core, yeah.
Common Core.
Yeah. Well, you have the worst system. And they're educating your children with about Islam. And they're educating them about Islam as if Islam was a peaceful religion. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a $200,000 challenge to any human being and every human being to find one single operative verse in Muhammad's Quran that shows any compassion and mercy towards unbelievers, kuffar. Unbelievers and kuffar today are 80% of humanity who is not a Muslim. Which means all Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, anybody who's not a Muslim. What, $200,000, find one single verse out of over 6,000 verses. Cannot be done. My $200,000 have been safe for the last 12 years. And yeah, then be safe for the next 2,000 years.
Indeed.
And what I'm asking simple questions from you who are listening. Don't take my word for it. I always say, don't take my word for it. I want you to double check me. I want you to triple check me. Find fault and take some of $1.5 million worth of challenges that I have on the internet. Back to you, sir.
IQ, real quick, back to, we have 2.5 minutes before the break. Wanted to ask you one final question on the billboard. I remember the question I wanted to ask earlier. So the billboard with the title, The Perfect Man, goes up. And you have these Muslims who are giving interviews to the news media, both on TV and for print, and they're saying that not only is this not true, they're saying that it is offensive to their religion. Now, is that some sort of lie or deception just to try to make Islam look good? Or are they saying that they're offended by that, not knowing you know, what is in the Quran? I guess what I'm saying is, do they really believe what is in the Quran, what Muhammad did, is offensive, or is it just offensive to them that it is on display for all to see?
You're right. They know it is offensive. They know it is disaster for Islam. But it doesn't mention Islam. It doesn't mention Muhammad. So how did they know it was Muhammad and Islam? Simple question. Nobody asks the simple questions. This is called taqiyya. Taqiyya is Islamic religiously sanctioned deception of all who are not Muslims. Americans, 97% of Americans are not Muslim. So every Muslim will use taqiyya to deceive you, pretending that he or she are part and parcel of the American dream. They can never, ever be part and parcel of the American dream.
Amen. You speak the truth. And as we approach the break, IQ, I'm going to tell you a little anecdotal story here. You were on a couple of weeks ago, and what I had done was I had taken your appearance, and I had created a standalone video. All right, and folks, listen to this, because this will tell you exactly the fight that we are having, the fight that we are up against. I uploaded this video that I took great pains to edit the video. I put in video overlays with respect to, you know, your website, what you're talking about and such. And I uploaded it on June 5th, actually. That was, what, just a week ago, actually. And within the first 12 hours, we had over 10,000 downloads of this video. 24 hours later, we had another 10,000 downloads. Within, it was like hour number 27, I got notified by YouTube saying that the content was non-advertiser friendly and was essentially offensive to our subscriber base. But what that aside, what I watched our number go from 28,000 views in the first 24 hours down to less than 5,000 views. That number went down 20,000. And the only thing I can think of, IQ, is the fact, and the reason I brought this up is not to say, wow, you know, we've got a lot of video, a lot of views, is the fight that we're against, the people we're fighting against have control of over the optics, and they're attempting to not just delegitimize our channel, but the message, your message. And this is one of the tactics they use. We're going to be right back with IQ Al-Razouli, just a brave man, a lot of information. Stay right where you're at. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric's a...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeswoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report with our guest, IQL Razuli, Islamic expert, a man that can't really walk down any street in the Middle East without fear of his life, of course. He's an Iraqi-born native Arabic speaker. He goes by the name IQL Razuli. He's lived in Europe since his university days studying engineering in England. Claire Lopez wrote a really great background piece on our guest in, when was it, March of 2013, 4 years ago now. And Mr. Al-Razuli had really came through with a lot of clarifications and such, talking about things as, well, answering the question, for example, is there such a thing as a moderate Muslim? Or is there such a thing as moderate Islam? How about moderate Muslims? How about, for example, why should defenders of Western civilization be concerned about core Islamic doctrine, law, and scripture? That, of course, Claire Lopez, and you can find that on Family Security Matters. And we're so proud to have him with us. He's a great friend of the program. Tireless as he talks about this topic. And, we owe him a great deal of, we just owe him a great deal for being as tireless as he is. IQ, gotta ask you, in the dust, as the dust settles of the London attacks, and this was the video I put up, we can expect more attacks. Can we expect this, the same thing to happen here in the United States? I know that's kind of a ridiculous question, but given our, propensity to, as Westerners, to give these refugees and Muslims the benefit of the doubt, we're going to give it shoved. We're going to get it in the back end, in the end, aren't we? It's coming.
Most certainly you are. But I'll tell you also, you have judges who are stopping Trump from implementing the limitations on Muslims coming to the United States of America. You have traitors within. The traitors within are the most dangerous. You see, the enemy outside, like the Muslims, ISIS, Boko Haram, Hezbollah, Hamas, their declarations are in public. And they tell you, in no uncertain terms, that their intention is the destruction of Western civilization and of Christianity, of Buddhism and of Hinduism, and converting every human being on planet Earth to Islam. Full stop. It's not a hidden agenda. The tragedy is that within Europe and within the United States, the elite, the many, in fact, most, not even many, most of the people who are in the academia, in the media, even in the clergy and politicians, are not only criminally negligent, but they are willfully deceptive and treasonous. Why do I say treasonous? Because they are endangering the American people by making them believe that Islam is peaceful, that Muslims will contribute to human civilization, that Muslims will be assimilating into America and integrating. These are all lies, every single one of them. And what I find egregious, which I find offensive, is that these lies are committed in public against all facts and reality. I'll give you an example, which I mentioned once before also. Last year, Pope Francis, the leader of 1.2 billion Catholics, publicly declared that he couldn't find any aggressive verses in Muhammad's Quran. Now, it is inconceivable for any decent human being with two brain cells of logic, having read only chapters 2 to chapters 9, only 8 chapters out of 114 chapters of Muhammad's Quran, to come to what Pope Francis said. Impossible. But why did he say it? Not only did he say it, but 95 to 96% of his prelates, the Catholic clergy, follow him without a single one objecting. I'm asking the question, how is that possible? Another one. Anglican Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Protestant churches, they have been watching in my country, Iraq, the Christians being decimated, tortured, murdered, plundered, and exiled. They've been watching what's happening to the Christians in Egypt, the Copts, in Syria, in all of the Muslim world. Yet not a single voice comes on television, and not a single television station in the United States of America or in Europe objects. I'm asking questions like, Mr. Hagman, how is it conceivable that all these Christians who call themselves Christians are not defending the other Christians? But that's right. These are the facts of, yeah, but that this is the facts of reality. Why isn't anybody addressing it? Nobody. Nobody mentions it on television. Not a single, there has never been a case by New York Times or the Washington Post speaking about the persecution and literally eradication of Christians in Muslim countries. And yet, we are in the 21st century, and I shall repeat it for as many times as I need to, the most persecuted people on the planet are Christians by Muslims, and only by Muslims.
Yeah, you're right. And even today, on the one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub terror attacks in Orlando, Florida, where shooter Omar Mateen, screaming about Allah and ISIS, went on a rampage, killing 49 people. Even today, the Washington Post article, the one-year anniversary article, removed any mention that of the motive, that this was terror-related, and they just called it gun violence. And that's why we don't see this stuff in the media, IQ, is because these reporters refuse. You know, first of all, they won't even interview somebody who believes this way. Then if they do, so often we see their feed cut or them running into technical problems, so their message does not get across. And then we have the media even covering up for these people. And the one example of this is after the London attacks, CNN got caught staging a fake protest of alleged outraged Muslims,
yes,
of this terror attack. But they were somebody videotaped what happened behind the scenes of CNN's camera, and CNN provided the signs. They staged these people just how they wanted them to. So it was not only it was all deceptive. But right after they got caught doing that, we saw reports that imams in the UK refusing to recite prayers for the Muslim terrorist and be the imams over their funeral service. Is what we're seeing in Britain, is this false? Are they doing this for show? And did you hear about that, IQ, that the imams, hundreds of them, refused to do the funeral rites? What's your take on that?
We were talking a few seconds ago about Sharia, and a few seconds ago about Taqiyya, which is deception. I'm sure you remember my assertions that the worst nightmare of Muslims are their four horsemen of the apocalypse, called knowledge, 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 and knowledge. That is the knowledge of their scripture called Sharia. I shall now prove my statement yet again. The Muslim Council of Britain, of 130 imams, has gained worldwide headlines and enormous praise for announcing that they refuse to recite prayers over the Muslim London Bridge terrorists. Even Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said in New Zealand, and I'm repeating, I was actually encouraged when I heard on the news this morning that a number of imams in London have condemned these attackers and said that they will not perform prayer services for their funerals, which means they are condemning their souls. Mr. Tillerson is not an authority on Islam. Tragically, as invariably, every clueless Western leader who never bothered to read, let alone study Sharia, started actually believing there are at last moderate Muslims. Unfortunately, and as usual, the Muslims have again intentionally and in plain sight deceived all those who fell for their Islamic taqiyya, because there are two schools of thought in Islam regarding what should or should not be done in the case of the jihadis. The answer can be found at the click of a mouse in the history of Islam. When some of the followers of Muhammad died in the Battle of Uhud, U-H-U-D, in the year 625 AD against the Quraysh, Muhammad did not recite prayers over them, because according to Muhammad, such martyrs, shuhada, do not need intercession with Allah, because they will go directly to Allah, and all schools of Islam agree to this. For example, according to the Imams Maliki and the Shafi'i, funeral prayers for martyrs should not be recited, while other groups assert that it is actually not obligatory. I repeat the word. It is not obligatory to recite prayers over jihadis. Who are jihadis? Muslim terrorists who died while murdering infidel kuffar fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah. In summation, dear listeners, the imams only pretended to be moderate and were able to deceive hundreds of millions of people in plain sight, especially the decidedly fake media, because in reality they do not need to recite prayers. Again, I say, anyone in doubt, just double check me. Back to you, sir.
So, the reasons the imams are doing this is not because they are outraged or upset because the terror aspect of these men. They are not doing this to out of real personal outrage or disagreement. They are doing this because this is the one, that the taqiyya, the allowed lying, and two, because in the Quran, and you just cited it, it is not obligatory for the imams to perform the funeral rites for people who are martyrs, correct?
Absolutely right, but not in the Quran, in the Hadith. Correcting you. I'll tell you why. We cannot afford to make mistakes, neither you nor I. I want to be not 99% accurate, not 101% accurate, but 100% accurate.
Correct.
It's in the Hadith, that means in the traditions, which is in Sharia. They lied, yes. Believe it or not, every one of these imams condones within himself, condones the acts of these terrorists. Why? Because according to these imams, these Muslims died in perfect harmony with Sharia. They died fi sabilillah. They died for the sake of Allah. They died to bring terror to the infidels so that they either submit to Sharia or get exterminated. Yes, every single one of these imams is not what's called moderate. Every single one of these imams support completely what these terrorists had done. Back to you, sir.
Okay. All right. Since your last appearance with us, IQ, we've had numerous emails of questions that we promised to ask you the next time you were on. And I'd like to address some of these questions with you, because I think they are pertinent to Western, and especially those people here in the United States and Canada, our observations and experiences with Muslims. One of the questions, and this question involves several people asking the same type of question. The head coverings for women that are associated with Islam, is this cultural, or can this be found in the Quran, or is this more of a cultural requirement? I'm not even sure requirement's the right word. What can you tell us about the head coverings for women as it applies to Islam?
Okay.
And by the way, in the context of imposing that right on others in this country?
The covering is called hijab. And I dare any Muslim, there are 1,500 million of them, and several of them are listening to your program, obviously. I dare any Muslim on planet Earth, and any one of the apologists for Islam, a sum of $200,000, if they can find a single verse in the Quran using the word hijab, denoting the covering of a woman in any way, shape, or form, $200,000 I give them. It doesn't exist. Women before Islam in the Arabian Peninsula used to run naked, completely, utterly naked, running around the Kaaba before Islam. Women were much more liberated before Islam than when Muhammad came in. The mandate to cover the head is part and parcel of the the men-oriented belief system of Islam. It's dominated by males. So everything they say in the Quran is to humiliate, denigrate, and make the woman inferior to the man. Covering her hair, for example, is one of them. Not being able to marry who she wants. That's in Islam. Before Islam, this didn't exist. A woman cannot drive, let's say, in Saudi Arabia unless she's accompanied by a male. A woman in Muslim countries cannot leave her house without the authority of her husband. She cannot associate with anybody without the authority of her husband. She cannot divorce her husband even if he beats the crap out of her. But he can divorce her by saying, I divorce you, 3 times. So everything in Islam is against the woman. Linda Sarsour, now she's become very famous in America. She's an American citizen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A piece of garbage, 100% piece of garbage. She pretends she's a feminist. There is no feminism in Islam. Women in Islam are treated one little step higher than domestic animals. They have no rights. Okay? So, to confirm what I just said, it's not even a tradition. Muhammad imposed it. In fact, this is a most remarkable thing, and also the listeners can check me. In Bukhari hadith, Aisha said in one of the hadiths that Umar ibn al-Khattab, who became the second Khalifa, wanted to impose the hijab, but Muhammad did not force it upon his wives. It's in the hadith, by the way, Mr. Hagman. He did not enforce it upon his wives. And if Muhammad did not enforce it upon his wives, the so-called followers of the perfect man should not impose it upon the women of Islam. But they do. It is terrorism against women. It is the subjugation of women. Genital mutilation is part and parcel of that one. Everything to do against women is in Islam.
Well, I can...
And Linda Sarsour glorifies and says it's beautiful. Sorry I interrupted you.
No, sorry I interrupted you. This is what I don't understand. You know, with this Linda Sarsour and much of the media and the progressive left in this country aligning themselves with Islam, how do they get away with calling female genital mutilation is a civil right? How do they get being told, you know, being forced to wear a hijab is some kind of feminist movement? How do the people involved in these movements, you know, the feminism movement, whatever it is, how are they aligning with the homosexual movement we see, you know, standing up and aligning with Islam? And I understand it to the extent that they feel these are other oppressed groups, and I say oppressed because this is how they feel about the LGBT community and the Muslim community. They feel that these groups are oppressed, so they'll stick up for them.
Yeah, but Joe, it makes no sense at all, man.
When you have Islam, killing gays, forcing, you know, the women to wear the hijab and you know, completely turning women into property, basically, slave property, how can these feminist movements and these other oppressed movements stand up for Islam? It can't be that they don't understand. Is there something else there that we're not seeing?
Yes. There is. They're stupid. It's not simplistic. They're stupid. It's impossible. It is literally, rationally impossible for any feminist to support Islam. Because it's a contradiction. It's like a judge in America allowing Sharia. From my point of view, I would execute the judge without even a trial. I know it's not acceptable in terms of legality. Sorry. But I'm telling you, I come to the conclusion that this person has no right to live. Why? Because Sharia is the nemesis of the American Constitution. So if he allows it, then he should be executed. I don't need a trial. I don't need a trial to prove that he is wrong. He should know it is wrong. Sharia is the opposite of every decency in human law. Simple. It's not complicated. Okay, you want to put him on trial and remove him? Be nice. Put him on trial. But remove him. Those feminists are only in words feminists. They demonstrated wearing pink. There are 750 million women in Islam who are treated like literally domestic animals, and yet these so-called feminists never once raised their voice in defense. Never. So when you tell me, is it rational? It's not rational. Some of the gay people were against Trump because he is banning Islam from Muslim terrorists. And yet they should know. They watch it on television. They throw gay people alive from the top of a building. So tell me, where is the logic? There is none. There is no logic. There is no morality. There is no decency in any of those leftists. None. And Americans really have to wake up. You have to wake up. We, the people who elected Trump, you really have to be very, very careful and alive. Because the leftist so-called liberals have aligned themselves with the worst enemies of the world, the worst enemies of humanity, called Muslims. Am I inciting? The answer is no. Every single verse in the Quran incites the followers of Muhammad to hate, to go to war, to discriminate, to be intolerant of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. Now, who is telling the truth, me or the Muslims? 100% me. All I say is, challenge me. Somebody from CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council of American Islamic Relations, Ibrahim Hooper, their representative, give me 10 minutes with him, primetime television. 10 minutes, that's all I need. Or ISNAD, Islamic Society of North America. Somebody, Imam, anybody, for God's sake. I've been asking, I've been begging for them to debate me in public. And I don't mind, by the way, if it's publicly debated on television. I'll come, I will show myself. I don't mind. Because by the time I finish with them, I would have finished my job. The complete destruction of Muhammadan Islam as a belief system called religion. Complete. Back to you.
You know, IQ, that is a rather chilling statement. You would have finished your job. And I know what you mean by that. And folks, I would ask that you understand the weight of that statement. Wow. You talk about guts. You talk about courage and tenacity and a mission that needs to be fulfilled. We need everyone listening to this program to write to Fox News or to whatever your preference
is. To Hannity. If you can do it to Hannity. Sure. All I need is 10 minutes with Hannity.
We really need this because,
I'm not joking with you. 10 minutes with Hannity, tweet him, Facebook, tell him, all he has got to do is Google my name. That's all.
Yes.
That's
yes.
it.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary, especially now when we're seeing a little bit, I believe this to be true, and as we come up here, we're about a minute away from our break, IQ, or the top of the hour network break, but as we see a little bit of momentum behind us with groups like ACT for America waging some protests or waging some informational, shall we say, informational meetings, throughout the country, I think we do have some lift behind us here to get the word out. So, folks, if you're listening to this broadcast, and I know you are, and I know how many countries we're in, we're in a lot of countries, we're a lot of listeners. So, I would ask that you send Sean Hannity a message via Twitter, send him an email. IQ El Razuli. Just listen to this program. Listen to a snippet of the program. In fact, we're going to take some snippets and publish them tomorrow of IQ tonight. But let's get him on Hannity. Let's get him on some of these mainstream media outlets. And let's get the word out there. We're going to be right back with IQ El Razuli right after this network break. Stay right where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.